if you are located outside of the European Union, the United Kingdom and or Switzerland, then you need an authorized representative. So, I have a good news. You have found it with Easy Medical Device. And if you are also in need of an importer in Europe and in Switzerland, then contact us definitely at info@easymedicaldevice.com. info@easymedicaldevice.com, and I'm sure we can help you. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. I am Mounir Elazouzi, a medical device expert specialized on quality and regulatory affairs. My mission is to help you learn how to place a compliant medical device on the market. For that, I share with you my experience and the one of others on this podcast. Are you ready for your dose of regulation and standards today? Okay, so let the show begin. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. Here is Mounir Elazouzi from easymedicaldevice.com. And today we'll talk about artificial intelligence, but not some science fiction things, even if my guest is liking science fiction, but we'll talk mainly about legislation. So we had discussed long time ago about AI Act, which is mainly the legislation for artificial intelligence. And now we have AI Act 2, mainly, which is the real text for artificial intelligence that will be published soon. So I have my guest that will be talking about that. So welcome, Eric Volbrecht.
Thanks very much, Mounir. Nice to be here. And of course, I would be totally happy to talk about AI and science fiction for the whole hour. No problem whatsoever. But let's keep it a bit more legal, indeed.
Exactly. So yeah, we have now received the information that the AI Act text is close to be published now. So there is no more modifications. And the idea of today is mainly to try to explain if there is any consequences for medical device manufacturers. Because just as a reminder, AI Act is not only for medical devices; it's for more. And the idea now is mainly to discuss about what is mainly relevant related to the AI Act to the medical device industry.
I've been myself involved with the AI Act from the very start, also from let's say version 1.0.
Yeah.
And you can say that in this whole process we've come quite far, I would say. Because the when the first text was released as a proposal, there was quite a lot of issues you could have with it, and I think everybody really also did have their issues with it. It was it was kind of a political prestige project. Because the EU really wanted to, let's say, make a big splash by being the first to set comprehensive standards for regulation of AI, a bit like they had also done so with the General Data Protection Regulation, which you could say is a pretty successful piece of EU legislation, because it established a kind of baseline framework for processing of personal data in the whole world. They wanted to do the same thing with the AI Act, basically. Now, the thing is that the EU had quite some goals there, because basically what the EU wants is ethical, human-centric, and transparent AI. And this is basically what the regulation is about. And it means that we have a piece of horizontal legislation, right? And horizontal legislation means it applies to everything, regardless of whether the product is already regulated by product-specific regulation, which we would call vertical regulation. And the idea is then that they are going to approach this on the template of CE marking.
Okay.
Which, to me, I thought from the very start was maybe not the smartest approach. And I'll tell you why. Because basically what we're doing now is to regulate a specific technology.
Yeah.
Digital basically an approach to digital technology. We are regulating it as a product, because CE marking legislation is all about products, right? CE marking legislation needs to fit in a new legislative framework for product regulation. So that means that if you are going to teach a fish how to climb, basically, or shoehorn something into, or put a square peg in a round hole, it really, you get some rounding errors, so to speak. And you see those in the AI Act. Also, the AI Act tries to do a number of other things, like put in obligations of which you would think like, okay, are these very practical? Can they actually be met? Like, for example, a requirement for data quality.
Okay.
Which is actually pretty difficult for some AIs. If you are going to require that the data set is complete, for example. And there are other requirements, for example, that the functioning of the system, requirements of human oversight, which basically means that the system should be set up in a way that a human can understand what's going on and intervene if necessary, which I think, especially for military AIs, the whole point is that you take humans out of the loop because humans delay everything and make everything more difficult or give you a strategic disadvantage, right? If you have a military drone with AI, then the whole point is that that it can do things that it couldn't do if it would have a human on board or a human in the loop. Military AI is exempted from the AI Act, so it's a bit of a silly example. But I don't know, let's say if you would have, for example, if you would have like a medical AI that also needs to take split-second decisions, you don't want a human in the loop, or you don't want to have to explain to a human first what you're going to do before you can do it. So there are quite a lot of things you could say in the AI Act that still are quite subject to how are we going to implement this in a practical way.
So just maybe to come a bit back before the AI Act, the EUMDR, was the EUMDR able to manage software we're containing some AI languages, or no, it was
absolutely
not able?
Yeah, no, that's why for the MDR and the IVDR, the AI Act is basically a non-solution.
Okay.
Because we were already able to CE mark AI systems under the MDR and the IVDR as medical devices. This also happened actually because it would just be CE marked as software. And it would go through the normal, pretty well described pathways for software under the MDR and the IVDR. And of course, in terms of software, if you would use AI, if you would have an AI device, yeah, there were some specific issues that would get additional attention, like risk management, for example. Training of the model, so clinical evaluation. So how do you know that your model is appropriately trained for the clinical effects that you claim? Because if it would be an algorithm, you could say, can you show me the valid clinical association? There's an NDCG, a document on clinical evaluation of software, but the valid clinical association with AI, that's a bit more difficult because you need to show that the model basically will always take the right decision, or at least that the risk that it takes the wrong decision has been managed as well as you can. This is a problem where you have models that are learning models, especially when they're deep learning models. So for that, you would typically get very specific post-market surveillance obligations, like you have to monitor how the device is learning and whether the AI in the device stays within specific guardrails, for example. So long story short, Yes, we had legislation that could already CE mark AI systems as medical devices. So now we have, basically a more complex way to CE mark medical devices as AI systems as medical devices.
So now that I have my medical device that is a software or an equipment that contains artificial intelligence, I want to then place it on the market. Let's say that now AI Act is in place. So how does it work now for a medical device company? Do they need to follow EU MDR and automatically they will be following the AI Act? Or they have to follow MDR and they have also some additional requirements by AI Act. So how it's working exactly all this now?
Oh, that's of course the $1 million question, or 1 million euro question, I should rather say, here. When the AI Act started, they really hadn't given this very much thought.
Okay.
And there was some overlap. There was some overlap rule, but it basically said, well, if you had AI that's also subject to vertical regulations, you can have overlapping technical documentation, which made of course absolutely no sense, because the AI Act uses similar concepts because it's also CE marking legislation, but it defines them differently. So, I mean, for nerds like me to have to work with technical documentation in which the same things are defined differently in two different acts, and then say, oh, you can have one piece of technical documentation. Yeah, I mean, that basically short circuits my brain, because it's like, it just wouldn't work, because you are working with defined concepts that don't mean the same in two different laws, but you can use them in one set of technical documentation. Doesn't work very well. So at the time, also, I was one of the persons, one of the leading persons, writing a report for the Dutch government about the interface between the AI Act early stage text and the MDR and the IVDR. It came in the end a report of about 40 pages, where, well, let's say we found some inconsistencies and incoherences between the MDR and the IVDR. And a big point also for the branch associations in medical devices was that there was no good conflict mechanism.
Okay.
Because if you look at Article 1 of the MDR and Article 1 of the IVDR, there's conflict mechanism, which basically shows how the legislation deals with more general legislation. So, for example, there's one provision in Article 1 MDR that says, oh, for EMC, I am a specific regulation in the meaning of the EMC directive. So, in the EMC directive, which is also a really broad product regulation, there it says, if there is specific legislation that covers EMC aspects, and it says, I am a specific regulation in the meaning of the EMC directive, then you don't need CE marking under the EMC directive anymore. Would have been a fantastic approach for artificial intelligence under the MDR and the IVDR.
Exactly.
However, not politically feasible. So, stupid. So, we need to do extra work. Okay. But then, because also probably the intelligent people that were behind the AI Act text didn't consider that the MDR and the IVDR met all the risks that are concerned with AI. So that reminds me of another point in Article 1, which is the interface with the machinery directive, where the MDR and the IVDR say, okay, if I have a medical device that would qualify as machinery under the machinery directive, if it were subject to the machinery directive only, then risks not managed under the MDR or the IVDR need to be taken into account additionally but you still CE mark in the MDR, in the IVDR, or the IVDR alone. Fantastic approach. I thought at the time, it's also what I advised the government, the Dutch government, this is the best approach in both a political sense, in the sense of a solution that already exists, and also a solution that makes all the sense in the world. If you are going to say, well, we need extra regulation for AI, but because not all risks are covered, fantastic, really nice, this could work. Well, also that was not an approach that they really took. So now we have this weird hybrid model that they came up with, which basically says, okay, if a product is subject to vertical regulation, CE marking, then you are going to CE mark under that regulation with an AI Act pop-up, which means that in addition, you need to comply with, you need to do double CE marking still,
okay,
which I think is
yeah,
unfortunate. Red tape, extra paperwork, all that stuff. But the AI pop-up basically contains of two things. So you need to comply with a part of the AI Act, which includes the AI risk management system.
Okay.
Unfortunate, because under the MDR, you also need to have a risk management system.
Yeah.
So you need to find a way to integrate these risk management systems.
And have they defined the ISO standard that is harmonized for that, or?
Well, this is a huge problem, because you can get into a situation where you're dealing with ISO standards that are harmonized under different regulations. Fantastic. Also, you need to look at the, you also need to comply with the data governance, bias detection, technical documentation requirements, lifetime logging, transparency, human oversight, what I discussed just now, and accuracy, robustness, and cybersecurity, another overlap in the AI Act. So this is not super. And you also need to follow a number of elements of the AI Act equivalent of Annex 9 in the MDR and the IVDR, so the full QMS assessment. So, and that also has some elements in there that are not in the MDR and IVDR conformity assessment procedures. So, for example, requirements for training data and access to the model, testing of the AI by the notified body. These are concepts that we also have, right, in medical devices, but they are applied, they work differently. And also a big problem is that the risk management system in the AI Act uses a slightly different standard to which risks need to be managed, because in the MDR and the IVDR we have to manage risks as low as and make the risks as low as possible.
Yeah, as low as possible, exactly.
Not in the AI Act. So then you're dealing with two different risk management systems subject to different risk management concepts. And that, I think, is deeply problematic, because which of these risk management concepts then has precedence? Or do you have to separate like out like a kind of a medical part of the AI that's subject to MDR risk management and another part that's subject to AI risk management? This is, yeah, it's very hard. But this is basically one of the problems that that I have with the way it looks. Yeah.
So, in terms of the manufacturers now, from what you described, you have now two legislations. You have two ways, if I can say, to deal with it. If we want to go for EU MDR, you have to go to the Nando database and identify a notified body there.
Mm-hmm.
So, For AI Act, is it the same? We'll have to also identify a notified body that will manage that, and they will have two different ODs, two different things, etc. Or what would be the consequence now for the manufacturer?
We are going to make it more complicated than that, Monir, because
Okay.
if it would be as easy as you describe it, it wouldn't be sport.
For me, it was already complicated. So.
This is Europe, so we are going to make it more complicated. So
Okay.
what they are going to do is basically they are going to say, well, what you can do is the notified body that does the NER or the IVDR CE mark can do this, but it needs to have a code for this. So it needs to have been assessed in its notification process for AI. And what we don't know yet is how they are going to actually implement this. So what you are going to get now, I think, and I've heard some discussions that they are going to just create additional competency codes for notified bodies
Okay.
that can also include AI, basically.
So
And
the
then,
same notified body can have AI also under his scope.
yeah.
Okay. But what we discussed before, like there are two different ways to work, two different risk management, two different things. So the same person will come and say, you are fine here, but you are not fine here, or.
Hey, just a second. Do you need a EU, Swiss or UK representative? Then choose Easy Medical Device. We can represent you and also become your importer. Contact us at eo@easymedicaldevice.com.
Yeah, that's basically so that basically means that part of the competency for the code would also be AI Act competency. And that is, of course, also, again, yeah, it looks nice on paper, but you will also have separate AI notified bodies.
Okay.
Because you can be a notified body under the AI Act, but not a notified body under the MDR. And you can also be a notified body that is a notified body both under the MDR and IVDR notify sorry under the MDR or IVDR and under the AI Act, right? But then so then you have competency for both. That's nice, but still the problem is, of course, that even if you are already with a notified body, yeah, you will need to see
Exactly.
If they finally get their code, if they are going to go for it, because we have an interesting problem. You would think, like, okay, but then this would only apply to if you have an AI a medical device that also is in scope of the AI Act, you would be grandfathered or something, right?
Yeah.
No, no, no. That
Okay.
would be too simple, because we have our legacy device problem, which was under the MDR and the IVDR, which was caused by the decision of the grandfather. So let's just repeat this problem under the AI Act, because we are the AU, we never learn. So what happens is that if you have an AI system that is already certified under the MDR or the IVDR, when it undergoes a substantial change after the date of application for that type of AI under the AI regulation, you also need the AI token.
So,
isn't that nice?
So it's okay. So yeah, I think maybe it would be sound as a surprise for every company that is now already certified and thought that everything is fine. Now we are on the safe side. We have the Amor
No.
Sesame with the CE certificate. So how it will, I mean, I think maybe it's a lot of assumptions here, but how maybe it will work. So the notified body will come and we identify that, oh, you have an AI, but you don't have the certification for the AI Act. So we will remove your certificate for AI for CE marking, or, I mean, it looks
Well,
complicated now.
that's actually one of the requirements under MDR, right? That if other sectoral legislation applies to the product, that you are compliant with that. So these things will, of course, spill over into each other. because you cannot maintain a CE mark under the MDR or the IVDR for a device that is not compliant under the AI Act.
So maybe practically, now the AI Act is entering into force and we have to use it. I have my CE certificate under EU MDR. Will it be the same rule, like there is a transition period and until the end of the expiration of my certificate, I can continue to sell my AI device, but after that I'll have to comply with the AI Act or?
Yeah, more or less, yeah. Or if you, basically what it says is that you can stay under the MDR, but if there's a substantial change,
okay,
after the date of application, that needs to be reviewed under the AI Act too.
And here, if you have your notified body that is only capable to provide you certification for UMDR, you'll have to contact another notified body so that they can give you the AI Act. So pay a second notified body to give you a second certificate, I think.
Well, that's not exactly how the interface mechanism seems to work, because it says the same notified body can do it. But it doesn't say another notified body may do it too.
Okay.
Anymore.
Okay.
Because that was the old system. So now you would need to basically hope and pray that the notified body you have will be notified under the AI Act in time. Or have its code for AI under the MDR and the IVDR to be able to get you compliant. So this is really a problem. So it's another transitional regime problem that's being created in a very small group of notified bodies. And yeah, this is just not very very nice. It's basically it's a super bad idea.
So now companies that have, what would you recommend now if there is something to do now for companies that are having those AI software, AI algorithms, which can be on a software, but can be also on a machine or whatever, but mainly that are using AI. So is there some kind of scenario, as we are always saying, should make some scenario now?
Yeah, because what I would do, if I were a manufacturer that already has AI with a CE mark under the MDR or the IVDR, I would double check with my notified body, what are your intentions under the AI Act? And if the notified body says, well, we have no ambitions there, then you know that this is not a sustainable body, notified body in the end. So you would need to start to think about a transition plan. If the notified body says, yeah, we may move to the AI Act sooner or later, then, of course, you get into the difficult problem that we also had with notified bodies under the directives. Are they going to go to the MDR or not?
Yeah.
Because, well, not all notified bodies did that. So we're basically repeating that discussion. And if I would be a completely new manufacturer, yeah, I would go to a notified body of which I would be pretty sure that they are going to go for an AI Act notification, or at least an AI Act code.
So if you were now, I mean, if now we look at the notified body side and they are looking at this AI Act, is it as difficult as being EU MDR certified to be AI Act certified or accredited?
Well, that's a good question, because notification on paper looks simple,
okay,
right? The joint assessment process for notified bodies on paper also looked quite doable.
Okay.
Except there was this tiny little detail called reality, in which the joint assessment process was basically totally screwed up. Because Stephen, at this moment, I think that on average, TeamMD has calculated your waiting time to become an MDR notified body is still 1,000 days.
Okay.
Which is, yeah, maybe not something you would want to repeat under the AI Act. So at least they can learn, I would hope, from the spectacular clusterfuck part of my words of the notification process under the MDR and the IVDR, because that basically created most of the problems that we are having at the moment.
In terms now of those manufacturers, if they are not moving forward with that, so the risk they have is mainly that they cannot sell any more of their devices.
Yeah, at some point, if they don't move, then even if you are already NDR or IVDR certified, you will lose this because you would need your AI top-up and you wouldn't have it. Yeah.
So
that means that what I always tell companies is think in terms of scenarios. What do I need to do? What do I need to know by when? And don't think I have a currently valid certificate. Nothing can happen to me, right? Be wise, make sure you understand the transitional regime and don't wait until the very last moment. If your management thinks that it's wise to wait until the very last moment, then you need new management.
It's
and you
lottery.
Have to tell them literally as a regulatory department, you need to tell your management, please say on your next quarterly earnings call or whatever other call that you have to report to your shareholders, say, we are going to put the entire European market on the big roulette wheel of regulatory uncertainty, and we might lose our access to the complete European market in 2 years. Everybody happy? Question mark. And if you are comfortable doing that, right, then we can follow this strategy. Otherwise, we need to be smarter than that. Is that okay for you, management? This should be the kind of simple language that even top management of a company can understand. And this is literally the kind of discussion that you need to have.
So on the text that will come soon, is there already mention about the date when they will be publishing that, the transition, or how it will be working? So is it like applicable immediately, or we have 3 years from now to make all this work, etc.? So was there any mention of anything like that?
Yeah, there is basically what we expect is that the final text will be published around June.
Okay.
So that means that then typically it entered into force 20 days as of the date of publication in the official journal. And then the transitional periods start to run. But the transitional periods, again, if you have AI, be smart, make sure you understand it. It has a complicated transitional regime because the general transitional period is 2 years. So 2026, you could say, half 2026 for general compliance. But there are provisions that start earlier, such as prohibited AI practices, for example. These are, let's say, the ethical provisions of the AI Act. They start within 6 months.
So what is prohibited AI Act principle?
For example, there are a bunch of, let's say, for example, political influence by means of deepfakes, things
okay.
like that.
Okay.
But you should still check if you have an AI, a medical AI under an MDR or an IVDR CE certificate, whether anything that your AI does could still fall in the prohibited AI practices, because until now, this requirement didn't exist.
Okay.
So it applies already 6 months after. Then 12 months after, basically they are going to set up the whole infrastructure. They are making the same idiotic mistake as they made with the MDR and the IFDR story, because what did they do for the MDR, for example? Remember that they said, okay, it enters into force 26 May 2017, right?
Exactly.
Let's not start with applications for notified bodies immediately. No, let's put that in the future, just like with the reference lab only, because it's so rational that we do not make super top haste with notification of notified bodies under these regulations, because who needs notified bodies under the MDR and the IVDR if there's mandatory certification?
So we can
same thing under the AI Act. 12 months after entry into force, they will start this.
So it will be the same as MDR, mainly, but maybe at a certain point, there will be not enough notified body that are under AI Act, and maybe we
quite
can
possibly
again.
Yeah. Okay. So it will. You some companies might be in a bottleneck.
Exactly.
Yeah, and this why is why companies you need to convince your top management that you need to start move into position for a notified body slot as soon as you freaking can. Make scenarios for this.
So
don't do one single linear submission strategy. Think about what if this doesn't work? What do we do then?
Exactly.
What if our management is too stupid? Maybe we need new management. Corporate risk management, really.
So, as you said, AI Act is new. We have for EU MDR until the 26th of May to find a notified body or to send an application to a notified body. This will happen in June. So by then, we don't know if this notified body is going to AI Act. Then we are moving to this transition period until the 31st of December 2028. This AI Act will be normally applicable by the 2026 from what we hear now.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is, if we have this, it's interlaced, it's overlapped.
As I said, you might be in a bottleneck within a bottleneck. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So as you said, you have really to make some scenarios here and to have some situations. Okay. Yep. So Eric, in terms of that, so your company or you, how can you help mainly this company to go through all this now?
Well, what I can do is, of course, I can help them understand the AI Act because this is where it all starts. Actually, next week already, I'm doing some nice, interesting training of a really, really big company. And yeah, also for small companies, this is important. This is the kind of stuff that you can't stick your head in the sand about. And yeah, it's something you have to understand. You have to start with, okay, does my device running software incorporate functionality that could be in scope of the AI Act? Okay, congratulations. Now it's going to get even more complicated. But this is something you should do very quickly. And then determine what this is going to mean in terms of transition to compliance also under the AI Act. And it might be that you are in a situation where you have a legacy device that is also an AI system in scope of the AI Act. Yeah. And these are the really complicated questions. I mean, the good part is that if you have a legacy device, you can't do significant changes. So the chance that you make a substantial change that would trigger earlier applicability of the AI Act is small. But still, these are scenarios that you need to think about.
Yeah, exactly. And just as a reminder again, if you have your CE certificate and you do a significant change while you are following the AI Act, then this significant change can immediately make you trigger the AI if you are not AI certified for the moment. So
yeah, and then there are other things that you also need to understand, like for example, how does the AI Act and the MDR work with the European Health Data Space regulation that is coming? How does it work with the GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation, because that is also quite intertwined with the AI Act? How does clinical research with an AI work? Because the AI Act does not have a clinical research or testing regime, except a regulatory sandbox regime. The regulatory sandbox regime doesn't really work with the clinical research regime. So you also have to find your way there. Because what you are going to do, I mean, the sandboxes are basically not testing. They are theoretical testing. But what you are doing in a clinical investigation is you are testing it on real people.
Yeah, exactly.
So that means that the problem is that in order to do clinical investigation under the MDR, you might already need a CE mark under the AI Act. These are things that nobody really has thought about very well. So these are also things that you need a position on in order to understand what you need to do.
Do you, I mean, you have to get the authorization to use the AI for the clinical investigation to get the EUMDR, then it's going.
Or there needs to be guidance that says this is not, although this could be a conclusion that you draw from the law, this is not actually how it works. But this also needs to be addressed by the legislator.
So will there be also some MDCG AI guidances that will be starting to, I don't know if they have planned those kind of guidances.
Hopefully, yeah, there's talk of something like that happening, but then of course these different DGs, the DG that's responsible for the AI Act and the DG that's responsible for the MDR and the IVDR may start to have a difference of opinion about what you can say about the applicability of the AI Act, because the AI Act has its own governance structure with the AI office. So then you might get friction between the AI office and the NDCG about who is going to issue guidance about what. So they need to cooperate maybe on this.
Is there already an AI office?
Yes, it's going to be set up under the it doesn't exist yet, but it's going to be set up under the the decision to set it up has been taken recently. But it is going to function under the AI Act. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So another office that would be managing. So it's can be some conflict also, as you mentioned.
Yeah, but it's not really an independent office because it exists within the administrative services of the Commission. But it looks independent by name, but it is part of the Commission services. So it's not an independent agency, if you will.
Okay.
It's not like the EMA for AI or something like that.
Oh, great. So for people that are listening, so if you need some support on that, so contact Eric Wolbrecht. I think he will be really happy to help you. And
absolutely. And tell you a lot about, have a nice discussion about AI and science fiction too.
Exactly. Yeah. And so just as information, we are also trying to plan to have an AI Act summit in September, so in Strasbourg in France. So the objective is mainly to gather people, the operators on the industry related to AI, so manufacturers, and we try to get some notified bodies and some other actors for services on AI. And the objective is to clarify all about this AI Act, to also provide some ideas on how maybe we can, as I said, solve all those problems that are mentioned by Eric. And yeah, the objective will be
and the problems that Eric forgot or didn't get around to in this short podcast.
Exactly. Exactly. So soon I will gather more information about what we'll do on the AI Act Summit. So and I will share that with you. But for the moment, we are just preparing everything and trying to shape all this. So stay tuned for the more information. Okay, Eric, so it was really great to have you. Thank you again for all the information. And I
You're
hope
welcome.
It clarifies. I don't know if it's a good word, clarify, but it helps to put in place some scenarios and to maybe gather more, understand what is the current situation and what can be the future problem if you are not taking care of it now. So it's mainly the idea. Okay, Eric, so thank you very much and wish you a nice day.
Thank you. Hi, thank you. You too, Monir.
Monir Alazouzi, a medical device expert specialized on quality and regulatory affairs. My mission is to help you learn how to place a compliant medical device on the market.